On Monday, we read from your letters. Our show on the blues with guitarist Corey Harris brought in many appreciations. From Danny Reed, a minister at the Unitarian Church in Norfolk, Virginia, I was pleased to hear all the religious references to the blues today. Buddy Guy once said, "The blues is the truth." And Stanley Crouch said, "Even Jesus had the blues." In this spirit, we devote the Sunday prior to Ash Wednesday as a celebration of the blues in our church. An electric house band is invited to perform. I preach on the power of affirming life, even in the midst of grief, heartache, and loss. And together, our church observes Blues Sunday. It's becoming a most meaningful day for us and prepares the way for Easter. The blues ended up being fairly meaningful for Kilmeny Stevens as well. "I grew up in New Zealand," she writes. "I was passing through Boulder, Colorado in 1992. The family I was staying with asked a workmate, Tony, to take me to something American. He took me to see Coco Taylor, blues queen from Chicago. I was amazed, and Tony is now my husband." During our show on the new Encyclopedia of Advertising, we asked you to come up with a slogan to sell the 3-volume set, which retails for a mere $385. Here are a few we didn't have time to get to. Karen Anderson in Portland, Oregon suggested, "Be the first person on your block, be the only person on your block." From Rick Hannon in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, "Read once, rinse, read again." And an emailer named Jerry proposed, "In a slightly shameless homage to infomercials, I suggest placing a small rounded rectangle on the cover with white lettering that reads, 'As heard on NPR.'" During that show, a caller asked about the origins of the advertising icon Aunt Jemima. We couldn't answer during the show, but we will now with the help of M.M. Manring, author of Slave in a Box, The Strange Career of Aunt Jemima. He joins us by phone from Columbia, Missouri. It's good of you to be with us today.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Who invented Aunt Jemima?
Well, a lot of people invented Aunt Jemima, shaping her image over more than a century, but primarily two flower speculators in St. Joe, Missouri, invented her in 1889. Their names were Chris Rutt and Charles Underwood, and they'd purchased a bankrupt mill and were looking for a way to sell a lot more flour. They decided to develop what they called the self-rising pancake mix. It didn't become popular, though, until after it was named Aunt Jemima Pancake Mix, and they named it after an old minstrel show character, a mammy.
Is that original image different from the one we see today?
Oh, yes, indeed it is. In 1989, for the centennial of Aunt Jemima, Quaker Oats gave her a makeover. They took off her do-rag, and they gave her some pearls and some earrings and declared that she wasn't really a slave. She was a black working grandmother.
Well, thanks very much.
Well, you're welcome.
M.M. Manring is the author of Slave in a Box, The Strange Career of Aunt Jemima. Another question we want to answer today comes from a show we did a couple of weeks ago. Since our listener used regular mail, you know, the kind with a stamp and an envelope, we're just getting to it today. Nina Judd of Boulder, Colorado wrote in after our program on people who have to make difficult decisions at work. During the show, I referred to those who take excessive risks as cowboys, and Nina wrote in to ask, "Since when did cowboy become a negative appellation? Is this one of the last groups one may freely denigrate?" Well, we've roped in an expert to answer this one, too. Joining us now is Don B. Graham, the J. Frank Dobie Regents Professor in American and English Literature at the University of Texas at Austin, the author of the soon-to-be-published Kings of Texas, the 150-year saga of an American ranching empire. He joins us by phone from Austin, Texas, and it's good to speak with you again.
How are you?
Good. The word cowboy does seem to have more meanings than just a guy who herds cattle.
Yeah, it does. And actually, it started out in a pretty negative way back in the 1870s. Cowboys had bad reputations for shooting up cattle towns, and they were seen as violent, drunken consorts of prostitutes and so on. And what happened was there was a process by which popular culture transformed that image into something heroic and positive. And so you get from the 1890s on, you get a kind of century in which the cowboy is the archetypal American hero.
So I may not have been utterly incorrect with that usage.
That's right. It's a widespread synonym these days in political discourse in particular for kind of reckless conduct. And I think it started in Europe, and I can cite, for example, in 1981, the U.S., through Reagan, was accused of engaging in cowboy politics. And it's very widespread today by critics of President Bush.
Well, thanks very much.
You bet.
Don Graham joined us from his office in Austin, where he's a professor at the University of Texas. And A special welcome to a new listener, Abigail Rumsey Campbell, born to our director, Chad Campbell, and his wife, Alyssa Rumsey, last Thursday afternoon. Get some sleep, guys. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.